Desire with the Lord's help this morning to read from Psalm 44. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantedst them. How thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. Thou hast given us like sheep appointed for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Thou sellest thy people for naught, and dost not increase thy wealth by their price. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. My confusion is continually before me, and the shame of my face hath covered me. The voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. All this is come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from the way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands unto a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. Even as we have prayed together, we're reminded of the precious truth of God's presence and that God's grace is sufficient for all things. There are many things that could be drawn from this passage of Scripture, but that is the thought that like with the Lord's help to draw from and focus upon in this morning, upon the grace of God that is sufficient for all things. This psalm, though it doesn't say the word grace, speaks much of this theme. In the first few verses, we read of grace that is remembered in times past. From verse 4, To verse 8, the psalmist makes the plans for the future to trust in the grace of God. And then the rest of the chapter, which changes very, very significantly in its tone, speaks of applying the grace of God in the present, in the hardship and the situation that we endure. Grace is sufficient. It is remembered in the past, it is planned in the future, and it is applied in the present. And this psalm takes us through that journey. The psalmist remembers that he has heard with his ears what the fathers have told us, what work thou didst in the days, in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. The people of Israel experienced God's help and deliverance when he brought them out of Egypt and when he brought them into the promised land. And many times the Lord tells them that he would do these things. It was the Lord that brought the plagues upon Egypt to deliver them. It was the Lord that brought down the walls of Jericho when the people, all they did was believe and obey to walk around them. And the stories that the fathers must have told of God's works in the past and how he had delivered them, they made remembrance of these things because this is what the psalmist got from hearing these stories, hearing the testimonies of those who maybe remembered or had heard from their fathers. The sense that he got was this in verse 3. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, or the presence of God's face shining upon them, because thou hadst a favor unto them, because God showed them favor. And that is grace, an undeserved favor. When we receive and get something that we don't deserve, that we didn't work for, and that we didn't earn, that is a gift of God's grace. And everyone has received a gift of that we have not deserved in the physical sense. The gift of life is one that we did nothing to obtain. It was given to you and to me as a gift. And the gift of our families, we didn't choose that. We didn't make that happen. That's a gift of God. And the same thing is also for spiritual life. The life that comes into the heart of a man when he comes to faith in Jesus Christ is a gift of God. It's a work of God. We hear the word, we believe, and God begins to change the heart. And that is a gift from the Lord. And also the family of God, that we might be brought into a family, is a gift from him. A spiritual family, to worship the Lord together and to serve the Lord and to help one another. This is what he remembers when he thinks about how the older people have talked, what occupied their mind and their attention, that it was full of the remembrance of how God had worked. He says, how thou didst drive them, the heathen, out of the with thy hand and plantest them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. All the things what the Lord was doing. And so the grace of God is to be remembered. The testimony that we share with one another should, as the scripture says, Our speech should be seasoned with grace. The way that we talk about our spiritual life should recall the goodness of God, should recall how we have not done this on our own, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. We think about the heritage of our forefathers in the recent time, and we wonder at their steadfastness and their faithfulness. But anything that is good that has come from that is also a gift of grace. Any overcoming power that worked in the hearts of brothers and sisters in the past, that is a gift of grace. And that grace is available today to help us in our time of need, to help us to be faithful, to help us to endure and to overcome. So let us remember. Let's have this time to remember the grace of God. The Lord knew that the people would need reminders from time to time. And there's a verse in Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, that remind us of this. When the people of Israel were about to leave Egypt, there was the final plague that came, that the firstborn would be killed. But those upon whose houses they had made preparation and sacrifice and put the blood of the lamb upon the doorpost and lintel and were partaking of the Passover, they would be spared. And that would be a definitive time in history and a very memorable thing for those who went through it. And God said that they should practice that year by year and make a remembrance of the deliverance of God. And he knew that the children in generations to come would ask, well, Dad, Mom, why do we do this? And the Lord says in Exodus chapter 12, verse 26, and it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? Mom, Dad, why do you serve God in this way? Mom, Dad, why are we different? Why do we take this different road that not everybody is on? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. The people had this practice of observing the Passover as a remembrance, to remember God's deliverance, to remember God's gracious salvation. And we also have a Passover lamb and a remembrance. In Christ's blood and broken body, we share in a time of remembrance and look forward to that. And as we partake, we ask the question, how did we get where we are? And we're reminded yet again, it is by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that we are where we are. Anything good that defines where we are, it is because of the grace of God. And we remember that, and we hold it precious, and we learn this lesson of remembering God's grace that was bestowed to us. And that's important, that it's not just a history lesson, and it's not just a story. Because if it's just a remembrance, then it's kind of separate from us. But what's very beautiful in the next few verses, verses 4 through 8, the psalmist sort of reflects on the things that he's learned, and then he expresses it in his own words. He takes it from a story of the history and makes it into an inheritance that he claims for his own. Listen to what he says. Thou art my king, O God. Now command deliverances for Jacob. It's not just about the past and the history that is beautiful and teaches us. But Lord, you're my king. I'm embracing you as my own. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. We're not only hoping or thankful for the victories of the past, but we have every expectation that God will be faithful in the future, that he will help us to overcome our enemies. Here in Israel's time, he's speaking much about the enemies of the heathen round about. We have the spiritual warfare that we're fighting, that we, through God's grace and with his help, must overcome. And then in verse 6, he says, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. See, he's reflecting on what he learned from the stories he heard from the past. When they said, they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but by thy right hand. See, he's taking the word of God, and now he's growing in faith. And faith comes by hearing. You hear the word of God and the testimonies of God and say, I want to make that the blueprint for my life. I want to embrace that and I want to make that my own so that I would not trust in my own bow or in my own sword to save me, my own abilities, or that I'm going to take this and handle this, or I've got all of this figured out and I know what to do. We don't know what to do. We need to trust in the Lord. And so he takes these beautiful stories of old and makes them his own, and they turn it from stories to an inheritance. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. What a beautiful hope that the grace of God is bringing to this heart. And my friend, what an inheritance is laid out for you. What an open door is laid out for you today in the grace of God that is preached and taught, that is available even in this day of grace, that you too might enter, that you too might hear the word of God and embrace it for yourself, that you might take it and own it and be able to express it even in your own words, how you are taking it to your heart and living by that faith and the grace of God. So in verse 8, there's this word, Selah. My understanding, it's like a musical notation that would mean like a pause to consider what has been spoken. And that's really important, too, that we take the time to pause and consider, because we know the facts. We know the testimonies from the past, and they're beautiful to us. And we know the future and the hope that we're supposed to have. But then he transitions, and the mood and the tone changes dramatically because he reflects on the time and place that he's at right now. The pain and the struggle and the hardship that he's enduring and experiencing in the present. And it's important to consider the truths that we know so that we can apply them and we can live by them in the present. So, beginning in verse 9, he describes his situation. And again, he talks a lot about God. But he says, thou hast cast us off and put us to shame, and goest not forth with our enemies. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us to spoil for themselves. Or the heathen, their neighbors would take advantage of them. They would steal from them. For thou hast given us like sheep appointed to meat. A sheep that is coming for slaughter, is helpless, is quiet, is... And it seems like that's just the he's living in a time when he feels as though that is just how things will be. And it's a hard challenge. Thou sellest thy people for naught. It's like it feels as though God's giving up his people for nothing and does not increase thy wealth by their price. Like he's not getting very much for what he's trading these people in for. Thou makest a reproach to our neighbors and a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. You could think of how the people scorned Christ when he was on the cross. They shook their head. They thought, this man trusted in God. And if God delighted in him, then God would deliver him. And they mocked him. And this mocking, this hardship, this struggle is, he's just layering descriptions one upon another. He says, my confusion is continually before me. The shame of my face hath covered me. It seems like the struggle that's in front of me is some, I can't see anything else. This is just covering my whole perspective. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and avenger. So not only are the enemies reproaching and mocking this man, but they're also blaspheming God. All of this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee. Neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. There were promises in the Old Testament that if God's people would turn away from him, that he would do these very things. But here the psalmist is saying, kind of like Job, that they had not forgotten God, and yet they were enduring hardship. And that is a combination of events that can happen. That's a combination of events that is real. That we may suffer for doing the right thing. That we may be mocked for God's sake. And so how do we deal with that when it doesn't make sense and we don't see the reason? Our heart is not turned back. Honestly, he doesn't have a sense of why this is happening. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. To be in the place of brokenness. Broken by God. Job had it better off being broken by God than his friends did being separated from God. It's better to suffer for doing what's right than to have your freedom and your fun and your own way and be separated from God here and in eternity. Though the way of this man is there is challenge, yet the grace of God is going to become reminded. He's going to be reminded of that now. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? Won't God reveal if there's something amiss? Won't he show it to us? Or is God such a God that he's just looking for us to fail and ready to crush us? Even if we don't realize that we're going astray. No. God is a God that will reveal the truth. And if we're honest and open and have in our hearts that prayer, search me and know me and show if there's any wicked way in me, God will reveal this. Is there some way that I've forgotten the name of God? Or stretched out our hands to a strange God? This idea of stretching out our hands. I think of my little boy. He can't walk. He can't stand up. But when he wants something and he expects something from his mom, he stretches out his hands and wants to be picked up. That's the kind of idea here. Like to an idol or to things of this life, we stretch out our hands hoping, can you please pick me up? Can you please help me? That's what serving and bowing to an idol is like. Would you help me? I'm going to stretch out my hands to you. We're to be as children, stretching our hands to our Lord, expecting that he will support us and he will help us, not to the things of the world. For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. God knows all the secrets. In this instance, it's like Job, where there doesn't seem to be any clear reason for the tribulation and the struggle. In the case of Daniel, he says the same words, all these things have happened unto us. All these things have happened to us. And then he pours out his heart in repentance for the sins of the people and the sins of his fathers. Which one is needed? In which way is the grace of God applying? Well, that's where that word Selah comes. We have to consider it. We have to have an honest and a good heart before God so that he can show us and reveal to us what the truth is. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. This verse is quoted in Romans chapter 8, where the Lord, where the Apostle Paul reminds us that all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, whether it be persecutions or perils or sword, any hardships. None of that can separate us from the love of God. And this remembrance of the grace is what is needed. Remembrance of God's faithfulness and of his character that is needed for this man and for many times for us as well. Awake. Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. God is not asleep. He doesn't slumber or sleep. It's not to be taken literally, but the experience is as if he was sleeping. And he wasn't responsive to the need at the moment. And so he's calling out in honesty, asking for the Lord's help. Awake. Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. Arise for our help and redeem us for thy mercy's sake. He doesn't rely on the fact that he's abided in the covenant. He doesn't rely upon the fact that his steps have been right, but his hope is in God's mercy, in God's character, in God's faithfulness. That's where he will find rest. When he's in the moment of affliction, in that valley of the shadow of death. And that's where we are to seek for rest too. That's where we are to seek for help. This last few verses just remind me of the experience that the disciples had on the boat where Jesus was sleeping. And they cried out. They asked him for help. They called upon him. He awoke and he calmed the raging sea. He helped in their time of need. Here it's in words, but there it's in life. Has experienced. My friend, this chapter speaks of the hardship among the heathen and mocking among other people. But there is yet a greater need in our inner man for deliverance from sin and from Satan. And you may be able to relate to his experience in that you are trapped and can't get out by yourself. And it seems that Satan also mocks you when you fall, when you stumble. Though he promised you pleasure and enjoyment and ease after you give in to temptation, he mocks you. That is a greater need. That is a greater need for deliverance. And there is no other deliverance outside of the grace of God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A simple truth to hold within our hearts. And there's a hymn that speaks of that challenge and that hardship. Sin hath entangled me. In chains of death I languish. Wherever I may turn, naught stilleth my heart's anguish. I, who have been so proud, am humbled to the dust. The things I prized so much have crumbled into rust. My soul doth yearn for rest. I seek, but fail to find. Naught or nothing can my heart release or from sin's chains unbind it. The law to me reveals the volume of my sin, but fails to give me power a new life to begin. Thou, Jesus, only thou canst turn away my weeping. No strength have I to do save what is in thy keeping. Dost thou not give me grace, the heavenly way to go? The longings of my heart will more pain bestow. Have mercy then, O Lord, I bow in true submission. To me thy grace impart. Behold my deep contrition. I pray I leave thee not till I thy favor win. O break death's power in me. Give me new life within. Thy promise standeth sure that thou wouldst truly cheer me if my perverted mind will learn but to revere thee. If it will lay aside all earthly vanity so that thy love and grace may hold its sway in me. So take my pledge, O Lord. Too long in sin I've bided. I'd live henceforth for thee, by thee my Savior guided. O do thou hold me fast. From sin, O make me free, so that henceforth my heart, thy temple pure, may be. Amen.